Hi, you're listening to KTOO in Juneau. This is Ken Fix, and I'm your host today on the Juneau Afternoon. On today's show, we'll learn about this year's public market 30th anniversary with my guest Peter Metcalf. Christy Shambor will be here with an update on KTOO's holiday auction. And Phoebe Robacher will be here to highlight Sunday's World AIDS Day. We'll also talk with Abby James about the International Doula Network, that Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more for Juneau Afternoon, Wednesday, November 27th, 2013. It's 3 p.m.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Alaska Heritage Institute shares knowledge about the practice of shamanism and Tlingit people of Southeast Alaska. As KTOO's Casey Kelly reports, elements are used in Tlingit culture today.
Shamanism used to be a major component of Tlingit life. Anthropologist and Sea Alaska Heritage Institute President Rosita Worrell says a shaman's responsibilities included maintaining the well-being of the clan, assuring hunting and fishing success, predicting future events, and curing illnesses. Worrell says every clan had a shaman before Russian and American colonization largely forced the Tlingit people to abandon their traditional religion.
However, we find that there are underlying aspects of the shamanic complex that still persist.
Worrell says that's perhaps most evident today in the use of sacred objects and regalia in Tlingit ceremonies.
We continue to believe that the spirits reside in sacred objects and that spiritual and social relationships exist between the natural and supernatural worlds.
Well, she says it's unlikely traditional shamanism will ever be completely revitalized. Some Tlingits are looking at ways to incorporate more of the old practices in modern ceremonies. Worrell spoke as part of Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's Native American History Month lecture series. For National Native News, I'm Casey Kelly in Juneau.
Thursday marks the 44th annual Day of Mourning by a group of Indigenous people and their supporters held at Plymouth Rock on the coast of Massachusetts, the site of the Pilgrim's Landing in the 1600s. As Melinda Tuhus reports, the group says they use the day to dispel myths about the Thanksgiving holiday and discuss ongoing struggles of Native people.
Muanam James is co-chair of United American Indians of New England, which sponsors the event every year. It begins with a speak-out by Native people, then a march to commemorate the killing of the Indian leader Metacom by English settlers. James says since 1977, one of their demands has been to free Native activist Leonard Peltier, who was convicted of killing two FBI agents on the Pine Ridge Reservation. James believes Peltier has been unjustly imprisoned.
And every year he sends a statement to us, and we do demand freedom for him. Another one of our demands is that the Bureau of Indian Affairs pay up. They owe billions of dollars in royalties for oil drilling leases, land use leases all over the country. We also demand that the sports teams stop using racist logos.
James says his organization also raises money for Native people on reservations around the country who need assistance. The day ends with a meal served to hundreds of people in two Plymouth churches. I'm Melinda Tuhus for National Native News.
An Oklahoma tribe that was part of a legal battle to keep a little girl with her father is now fighting over tribal sovereignty in the case. KGOU's Kirk Gortney reports.
The Cherokee Nation has filed legal documents claiming it would be inappropriate, unreasonable, and unconscionable for baby Veronica's adopted parents to seek more than $1 million in legal fees. The tribe's legal argument is that federal and state law gives the Cherokee Nation sovereign immunity, but that protection would not apply to Dustin Brown. That's Veronica's biological father, who had custody of her for 2 years and fought a legal battle with the help of his tribe to keep her in Oklahoma. Matt and Melanie Capobianco of South Carolina filed a motion to collect those legal fees from Brown and the Cherokee Nation after they won custody of Veronica. A judge in Nowata County, Oklahoma, where Brown lives, will likely have a hearing on the issue, but no date's been set. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney.
A In November 2011, Kansas Governor Sam Brownback issued a proclamation apologizing to tribes in the state for past mistreatments, including forced relocation. It was part of events to mark 150 years of statehood. This month, Brownback publicly apologized for Indian boarding schools at Haskell Indian Nations University in Lawrence. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And this is Ken Fix on KTOO Juno 104.3. We're back on a Juno afternoon. It's 3.05 p.m. My first guest in the studio is Peter Metcalf, who's going to talk to us about this year's public market. Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm very good. We're just in the process of setting up. Vendors are moving into their booths as we speak.
Okay, and this is the 30th anniversary of the public market. Can you tell me a little bit about how it got started?
Well, we were one of the first events in the brand new Centennial Hall, and that was in 1983. And when we opened the doors to the market, it was unbelievable. The whole lobby was jammed with people waiting to get in. It's been a success from day one, and people just loved it in the beginning, and they seem to love it today.
Well, hopefully they're still going to love it here in the next couple of days, because it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right?
That's right. It's, you know, one of the great shopping weekends of the year for American consumers. But, you know, unlike a lot of the Black Friday issues that are seem to be coming to a head, this is like, you know, shop local, shop small. There are over 50% of the vendors are from Juneau. We have probably over 80 vendors from throughout Alaska, you know, from Talkeetna to Fairbanks to Anchorage, Wasilla, all throughout Southeast Alaska. And we have a vendor many people know, Leah Sturgis, and she now lives in Alexandria, Virginia. And she's coming all the way to revisit with many of her friends.
Well, that's at least a couple of flights. Okay. Do you have any favorites that you can tell people about that they would be expecting that have been here over the years?
Well, we have a little mix in terms of some fine artists that are showing. Two of them, or three of them, have been here before, but Brenda Schwartz is back for the first time in about 15 years, and she's a marine artist, very popular artist who pretty much got her start in the public market. That may be a stretch, but I know she was not known when she first showed at the public market, and boy, was she known by the end of those 3 days. Her booth was really popular. Then we have Catherine Young from, Brenda is from Rango. Catherine Young coming in from Petersburg, a Haida artist who does spruce root and cedar bark weavings. Then Sherry McDonald, well known here locally for her paper landscapes. She also went to the Smithsonian Craft Fair earlier this year, and Sherry will be back for the first time since 2007. And then Cindy Wortman-Zeal from Craig, Alaska, is coming in, and she does hand-painted Christmas ornaments, collector items. This will be her third appearance at the public market.
Okay. What's new for this year? Do we have any vendors that have not been here previously?
Well, we have 42 vendors who have never showed at the public market before, and that's roughly a third, a little less than a third of the vendors. We have over about 160 vendors. I know we have 150 vendors, but in many cases they're doubling and tripling up. So we figure we have close to 170 this year.
Wow, that's pretty good. Are the ratio of new vendors to the ones that have been here previously then is about two-thirds veteran vendors and about one-third newcomers?
That's about right. You know, there's a lot of vendors who, say, haven't been here for the last 5 years, like Sherry McDonald, but so that if you were here last year, there's actually something like over 55 vendors who weren't showing last year. So, but we have a stand, you know, what's become an expected turnover rate of about 25 to 30%. A lot of people come back after a couple years. but we always have new vendors, and that really keeps this thing fun.
Okay, and also, is there an appearance by Santa?
I'm glad you asked that. Santa is going to be at the public market on Sunday, beginning at 11, and my niece, Maggie Metcalf, who's 5 years old, is coming in from Anchorage specifically to help Santa. She's going to be the fairy princess elf as a Santa's helper, and every kid who talks to Santa gets a present. That's courtesy of the public market vendors. Very generous vendors, and they, you know, they're giving us presents all throughout the 3 days so we can have plenty for Santa. And also I should mention, this is happening at the JAC as well, Juno Arts and Culture Center. We have, let's see, we have about almost 40 vendors there, and they're real mixed bag from, I mean, it's some really, really good stuff. Most of the vendors who didn't get in early enough find themselves there, but there's a number of vendors who I found it such a good venue that they keep coming back, and like Mark Cozy of Skagway, he's the fun guy, kind of like that. He sells mushroom books and products, and then Brian Chilton will be there selling Tlingit bracelets. There's, you know, some essential oils and then salad oils and all sorts of, you know, a real variety of stuff at the JAC. And
hi,
there's
Peter.
No admission to the JAC. We do charge a $7 3-day admission to the public market.
Okay. And would you remind people again of the times for the events at both locations?
We open at noon. At both locations, the hours are the same. Noon on Friday to 8 p.m. and on Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Okay. Well, it sounds fabulous. So everybody get out and shop.
One thing
Friday,
I want
Saturday and Sunday.
Close with is we do have a shuttle that will run through downtown Juneau, stopping at the parking garages for people who want to shop downtown too.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for joining me in the studio, Peter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're back at 3:14 on a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Ken Fix, your host for the Juno Afternoon segment today. We'd like to invite you to tune in for a special collection of local stories recorded in 2009 as part of KTOO's participation in the National Story Corps project, featuring Renee Guerin-Blood, Connie and Alan Monroe, Kim and Peter Metcalf, Grace Elliott, and Gene Clayton. Thursday at 6 p.m., so that's today, on KTOO News in Juneau. I'm now joined in the studio by Christy Shambor, and she's going to highlight what's going on with our KTOO auction. Hi, Christy.
Hey, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Good.
Okay, tell everybody where we're at as far as the auction goes, what items are up for sale, and is there anything really cool or unique going on?
Okay, so we have our item of the day, the final rhubarb pie, ready to go for tomorrow's feasting, and that part of the auction will close at 4 p.m., so make sure you get your bids in. Right now it's at $35, last time I checked. So make sure you check that out. And then just a little teaser for tomorrow. So Thursday and Friday, the item of the day is a custom ice cream crafted by Copa. So you can dream up any flavor you want, and Mark will create it. And this will go up for bid tomorrow at 6 a.m. and will close at 4 p.m. on Friday. So just keep that in mind as well. And then just a couple items to highlight, to check out. We have a gift certificate for Healing Touch, which is a really wonderful service that Mary Schapansky provides. You should check that out. There's some more details on it on the website. And we also have a photo booth prop box from Balloons by Night Moods, which is really cool if you have any holiday parties coming up and want to do a little photo booth. She's got some great stuff in there. You can check that out as well. And then, of course, Eagle Crest passes. We have several of them available, so please start bidding. And you can see all this great stuff at ktoo.org. And on the sidebars, you'll see little buttons to press for the auction. Just go ahead and do that, and then you can start bidding.
Okay. Is anything else coming up here that you're going to keep under wraps?
Well, we can't give it all away. We do have some really cool stuff coming up next week for the items of the day. We have TP Alaska Designs does some really great knitwear. We're going to be focusing on her early next week. Also, Pinky's Fish Market will be promoting a gift card from them as one of our items of the day. And then everything else is under wraps. I'm not selling anymore. And then also Juno Artist Gallery is on there. I know this is a great time of year to purchase art, and you should check out some of the stuff that they donated to the auction as well. And again, that's all at ktoo.org.
Okay, so there are a few unique or one-of-a-kinds that
people would definitely get.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, keep the auction in mind for your holiday shopping this weekend and your online shopping. There's lots of great stuff on there.
Okay, Christy, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think that's it. Happy Thanksgiving, Ken.
Okay, thank you. It was great having you in the studio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Bye.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 27th of November, 2013. It was on this day, 1786, the poet Robert Burns borrowed a pony and made his way from his home in Ayrshire to the city of Edinburgh. He was a failure at farming, and after he got his girlfriend Jean Armour pregnant, he decided he needed to find a way to support the new family. He already had an illegitimate one-year-old daughter whose mother was a servant in the Burns household, and she wanted some money. So he accepted a friend's offer to go to work in the Caribbean as a clerk in Jamaica, and he was all set to leave in September. A few weeks before his departure, he published poems chiefly in the Scottish dialect, hoping to raise enough money to pay his fare. And the book became so successful that Burns began to doubt that he should leave Scotland. And then Jean Armour gave birth to twins. And at the same time, Burns heard that his book of poems had been favorably received by some influential critics in Edinburgh. And so, full of hope, he borrowed the pony. He made the two-day trip to Edinburgh. Along the way, he was entertained by farmers who had heard about him and who wanted to take him in for the night and to give big feasts in his honor. and he arrived in Edinburgh to find out that he was now famous in Scotland, and the trip to Jamaica was cancelled. It's the birthday of the historian Charles A. Beard, born Knightstown, Indiana, 1874, who argued in his book An Economic Interpretation of the Constitution that the Founding Fathers wrote the Constitution as a way to protect their own economic interests more than for any ideological reasons. And he also saw the Civil War not as a war that was about slavery, but as a conflict between the agricultural economy of the South and the industrialized economy of the North. It's the birthday of the writer James Agee, born Knoxville, 1909. Today we know him for his two books, Let Us Now Praise Famous Men and A Death in the Family. But what he was known for during his own brief lifetime was his film criticism in Time magazine and then in The Nation. It was James Agee who argued that silent movies was the greatest era of comedy. People hadn't thought about that. They thought of silent movies as being old-fashioned. But James Agee's praise of silent movies helped to revive the career of Buster Keaton. James Agee died at the age of 46 in 1955. Here's a poem for today by Emily Dickinson from 1862, Much Madness is Divinest Sense. Much madness is divinest sense to a discerning eye. Much sense, the starkest madness. 'Tis the majority in this, as all prevail. Assent, and you are sane. Demur, you're straightway dangerous and handled with a chain. Emily Dickinson's poem, Much Madness is Divinest Sense. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. And by Lumosity, lumosity.com's daily online workouts are designed to improve memory and attention and are dedicated to helping people feel sharper, think faster, and remember more. More at lumosity.com. Engineered by Noah Smith and produced by Joy Biles, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
In part by the Public Market, presenting holiday shoppers with arts and crafts from all over Alaska at Centennial Hall and the Jack every Thanksgiving weekend since 1983. The Public Market, opening Friday the 29th at noon.
Hi, we're back with KTOO's Juno Afternoon. It's 3:23, and I'm joined in the studio by Phoebe Rohrbacher, who's going to talk to us about World AIDS Day. Hi, Phoebe. How are you?
Hi, Ken. I'm doing fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And can you tell us a little bit more about World AIDS Day? When is it, and how are we recognizing it here?
Yeah, so World AIDS Day is December 1st, and that this year it falls on a Sunday. Although it's going to be a busy Sunday here in Juneau, there's a lot going on this weekend. We're having an event, and we hope that everybody can come. It's going to be a World AIDS Day candlelight vigil and celebration. And it will be at McPheeters Hall at 4 p.m. And we're lucky because we're going to have the Pride Chorus who will be singing. We're going to have a couple of speakers, including Pastor Phil Campbell Dr. George Brown, who's done a lot of work, along with his wife, Carolyn Brown. They've done a lot of work in Africa with people with HIV and AIDS.
Okay. And how did this get started? When did we start recognizing World AIDS Day?
Yeah. World AIDS Day became, you know, started in 1988, and it's an annual event, in, you know, just worldwide, to mostly to spread awareness and just, you know, we dedicate a day to remember those who've been infected with HIV and who are living with the disease, and also we remember the people who have died as a result of the illness.
Okay, and where can people go locally if they suspect they may have this and wish to get tested?
Yeah, well, actually, Ken, I would, you know, testing is very, very important, but I would say it's important for everybody, not just those who might suspect that they have it. And that's because HIV can take a long time to become symptomatic before a person would feel sick. And so the CDC actually recommends that every adult between the ages of any person between the ages of 15 and 65 get tested at least once a year. And so it's just a good thing to add into your health practice.
Right. So am I correct in saying that once you're infected with the virus, it takes as long as 3 or 4 months before anything even starts showing up?
It can take, with the test that we do, it can take as long as 3 months for the antibodies to be detected on the test. But the tests are very accurate. It's really good to know your HIV status, and to talk to other people and encourage them to get tested as well.
Okay, and remind everybody when and where for the Candlelight Vigil event here in Juneau.
Yeah, it's going to be at McPheeters Hall at 4 p.m. Sunday, December 1st, and we'll have music, speakers, and a remembrance of those who have died.
Okay, thank you very much for joining me, Phoebe, and thanks for passing on the information.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Easy to become. It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom to bid online from the comforts of your home or right from your smartphone. The K2 Holiday Auction is happening now through December 5th, and all bidding will be done online. Simply go to k2.org and check out all of the incredible items from your favorite local businesses, including Fairweather Gallery, Bullwinkle's, North Star Trekking, and more. Plus, we'll be on the air this week with auction updates and special items of the day. More information at ktoo.org.
Hi, it's 3:30, and you're back with the Juno Afternoon on Wednesday, November 27th, 2013. With me in the studio is Jim Betts from the Knights of Columbus, and tell us why you're here today, Jim.
Thanks very much, Ken. Well, I am Jim Betts, and I'm the state deputy for the Knights of Columbus here in Alaska. We have a Knight of Columbus in Ketchikan who has donated his time and for a dental outreach program. He had been approached by a priest in Tanzania, in Zamboanga, and asked if he could help the kids who are just the poorest of the poorest. Well, the Knights of Columbus have come together, and across the state we have committed to raising funds to help provide Terry Thompson the opportunity to travel to Tanzania and help these kids. We have Terry Thompson ready to go. He has a portable dental station, x-ray equipment, power storage, generation equipment, and he's ready to serve those kids.
Well, that sounds like a pretty amazing feat that you guys are putting together here.
Well, we've been working on it for close to a year now, and, you know, locally we've had the support of a lot of different people, but as of November, the Stanley family and Stanley Ford have come together to help us in our fundraising efforts. The Stanley Ford here in Juneau is donating a generous portion of the proceeds from the sale of every car during November. We're down to the last 3 days in November, and we'd like to see everybody take advantage of the opportunity to get a fine car and help the Knights of Columbus, help kids that just cannot help themselves. This is a time to give thanks, and what better way to give thanks than to give help to somebody who can't help themselves?
Sounds pretty terrific. What else can people do locally to help?
Well, you know, I'd encourage everyone to call Ken Spencer at Stanley Ford, see what they can do for them. New car over there at the Juneau office. They've recently located themselves on Mallard Street. Their phone number is 523-8500. If anybody would like to make donations to the Knight of Columbus organization, they could contact me directly at a phone number here, Juneau Local, 907-723-2626. We'd be glad to let everyone that's interested know more details about how they can help kids who can't help their own dental programs. We call this program Buy a Car, Help a Kid. I think we can help everyone here in our community.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Jim, for coming in.
It's been my pleasure. I wish everyone a good Thanksgiving.
Support is provided by the USPS Contract Station, offering postal services including holiday packages downtown on the corner of Franklin and Front Street, featuring pottery by Tom's Pots, too. Open Monday through Saturday with extended holiday hours.
This is Bird Note. In the early 1800s, John James Audubon wrote, "The great size and beauty of the wild turkey, its value as a delicate and highly prized article of food, render it one of the most interesting of the birds indigenous to the United States of America." He describes how wild turkeys, which walk more than they fly, cross a river. When they come upon a river, they betake themselves to the highest eminences, and there often remain a whole day, or sometimes two, as if for the purpose of consultation. During this time, the males are heard gobbling, calling, and making much ado, and are seen strutting about, as if to raise their courage to a pitch befitting the emergency. At length, the whole party mounts to the tops of the highest trees and takes flight for the opposite shore. The old and fat birds easily get over, even should the river be a mile in breadth. But the younger and less robust frequently fall into the water. Not to be drowned, however, as might be imagined. They bring their wings close to their body, stretch forward their neck, and proceed rapidly towards the shore. You can see Audubon's painting of the wild turkey, the first and most famous illustration of his monumental work, The Birds of America, on our website, birdnote.org.
Hi, this is Ken Fix at KTOO Juneau, and this is a Juneau afternoon. It's 3:36 p.m. Tonight's forecast is still calling for rain, with temperatures in the upper 30s to possibly low 40s. That rain will be continuing overnight. Lows will still be in the mid-30s. Rain showers and rain are still expected tomorrow, with the snow level about 1,300 feet. High temperatures again close to 40, and southeast winds at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Doesn't look like we're expecting a chance of snow again until sometime late Saturday. So kind of in honor of Turkey Day here, I'm going to play another song by the Corrs. This is an instrumental. It's called Toss the Feathers. Okay, that was the Corrs with Toss the Feathers. Kind of thought that might be appropriate for Thanksgiving. I can't find a really good turkey song, but that's off the 1995 CD, Forgiven But Not Forgotten. And again, we're here on a Juneau afternoon. It's 3:39 p.m., and I'm here talking with Shayna Romer, and she's here to talk about the International Doula Network. They're going to be represented at the public market this weekend, so Shana, welcome to the show today, and please tell everybody what exactly a doula is and what do they do.
Okay, thank you for having me today. So a doula is a non-medical birth professional. She is someone who provides physical, emotional, and informational support to birthing families. So usually we meet with families prenatally and find out what they're wanting for their birth, and then we accompany them throughout the duration of their labor and then follow up with them after their baby is born as well.
Okay. When was the network started? Has this been going on since ancient times, or is this more or less a modern phenomena? Can you let our listeners know about that?
Sure. So I am a member of the Juno Community Doula Network, and in that sort of permutation, we've been around for the last about 5 years, and we are a group of between 6 to 10 doulas who are actively practicing and who meet to really to work together to increase awareness and access to professional labor support in and around Southeast Alaska.
Okay. And as far as here in Juneau, when did that get started?
Just about 5 years ago. So we are just a network that is based in Juneau.
Okay. And how are the doulas matched up with the women that they assist? Is there a vetting process for that, or how does that take place?
Sure. So when someone finds out that they're pregnant, in their readings or through meetings with their care provider, they may hear about doula support and decide that they are interested in meeting with a doula to see if it feels like a good fit for them. And so you can find a doula in our community by going to our website, which is junodoulas.org. And doulas is spelled D-O-U-L-A-S .org. Or you can call 796-2456. And we usually just take a little bit of information about a family, whether or not it's your first baby, what you're wanting in terms of doula support, and then we try and find you a list of between 2 to 4 people to meet with and interview to see who feels like a good fit.
Okay. And approximately how long does that process take if somebody's looking for a doula for support?
It can be pretty quick. Usually it's, you know, a couple of days to a week to get a list of names and then just a matter of meeting with those people. And, you know, I always suggest if I meet with someone and I'm the only person that they've met with so far, I always suggest that they meet with other people because since we are, you know, it's a very intimate personal connection that you make with a family. And so it's really more about how you connect with them rather than how much experience they have. So I always encourage people to shop around and see who feels like the best fit for them.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want to add as far as your presence at the public market this weekend?
Sure. So the Doula Network is going to have a booth at the public market. We're very excited about that. We are going to have a bunch of natural parenting products there, courtesy of Fiddlehead Doula Services, which is run by Michaela Levy in town. So we'll have things like amber necklaces, nursing necklaces, cloth diapering supplies, Badger organic skin products, baby katan carriers. We'll also have a place to sit and feed your baby, and then different baby carriers that you can try out, and a doula there who you can talk to about doula support.
Okay, so this sounds like something, if you've got an infant, you're not totally excluded from the public market.
Right. No, it'll be a great spot to come and take a break and look at some really neat things.
Okay.
Yeah.
And anything else that you would like to say about the network?
Well, just that I really encourage families that are expecting a baby to explore doulas as an option in Juneau. We are really well supported wherever you choose to birth your baby, whether it's in the hospital, at the birth center, or at home. All of those places are really open to having us there. And I think it's just a really excellent addition to the birthing team.
Okay, Shana. Well, thank you very much for coming in and joining us on a Juneau afternoon.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas.
That was Feliz Navidad by Miguel de Leon. That's kind of getting everybody in the mood for Christmas, which is right around the corner. And thank everybody for listening to KTOO and Juno. This is a Juno afternoon. If you've ever wanted to hear more from your uncle or pay tribute to your grandmother, then listen closely. This year, on the day after Thanksgiving, you can honor your loved ones by participating in the National Day of Listening. All you need to do is sit down, have a conversation, and record it. To find out more, go to ktoo.org or thenationaldayoflistening.org. And here's a song called, this is Send Me a Song. This is by the Celtic Woman Group.
free. Turn your back on the land, face the sea. Face the wind now so wild and so strong. When you think of me, wave to me and send me a song. Don't look back when you reach the new shore. Don't forget what you're leaving me for. Don't forget when you're missing me so. Love must never hold, never hold tight, but let go.
That was Celtic Women with Send Me a Song. That's a really pretty one there. This is KTOO in Juneau. We rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley in Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, K210AS in the Excursion Inlet and Icy Straits. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable, digital channel 871. We're also online on KTOO.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and viewers like you. It's also listeners, too. I guess the viewers would have been on the TV. But if you're watching TV and listening, I guess you're a viewer then. On Thursday on KTOO Juneau Afternoon, a special program will be run highlighting the beginning of Hanukkah. And if you miss the Juno Afternoon segment or want to listen again, you can always catch it and other local, statewide, national, and international news on KTOO.org. It's 3:55 p.m., and I'd like to run one little additional song from Celtic Women in just a moment, but first, a few thoughts on Thanksgiving. It's more than just eating food and waiting for the store's Black Friday deals. Thanksgiving's a time to give thanks to the people that have helped you in your life, past and present. If they're alive but not with you tomorrow, give them a call and spend a few minutes talking to them. If they're no longer around or if they're unreachable, take a few moments to think of them. No one has helped anyone get to where they are without the help of others. You always need other people. I'd like to say one other thing about gratitude, and that gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving, Juno, Southeast Alaska, and listeners far and wide. Be safe tomorrow, and enjoy your holiday with those that you love.
The Iranians running in place, but they're running. Their centrifuges are spinning.
A skeptical view of the Iran nuclear deal from the head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. It's Wednesday, November 27th, and this is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Audie Cornish. Coming up, Democrat Robert Menendez on the Iran nuclear accord, plus how that deal strains an already tense relationship between the U.S. and Israel.
What was concluded in Geneva is not a historic agreement. It's a historic mistake.
Also this hour, how safe is shared breast milk? Many people are circumventing so-called milk banks and buying directly online.
Sharing a body fluid with all of